Welcome to Deckheads, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Deckheads with your hosts, Nick and Anna. Broadcasting from the bottom of the boat, below deck.
Ooh, I'm horny.
All yacht talk all the time.
I'm having a party.
We're shoveling coal to keep this show afloat.
I love cocaine.
We're off the map in international waters.
I need some Dramamine.
Hide that cocaine.
Never.
In my nose.
Just so you know, I'm in an open relationship.
Below deck.
Woo!
Below me.
What?
Deckhead. Anna.
Sometimes when I clap for us, it feels like I'm like just trying to kill a bunch of flies. Wow. No?
Again, people, if you don't know, she lives in a very dirty home with trash piled up. There's flies everywhere.
Just stacks of old newspapers.
Yeah. Well, the newspapers are like the cleanest thing in your apartment.
It is an interesting thing.
Because they just have mites in there.
Well, yeah. Termites eating alive. That's how I feed my termites. My pet termites. My thousands of pet termites. But it's interesting that in hoarders, they do all just keep all the newspapers they've ever received in their life. So, like, what is a modern day hoarder like when you don't get the paper? Like, your house is just, like, covered in
SD cards?
Yeah, wait.
External hard drives? Yeah. Just everywhere.
With, like, downloaded articles. I don't even get it. Like, what could you hoard at this point? I guess you could. You could still hoard a bunch of shit. Who am I kidding? I'm a hoarder. You tell?
I mean, not from this view, but I'm sure if you took me on a tour around the house, I'd see some stuff.
No, actually, I got rid of a bunch of stuff when I moved.
Well, you work every day. Everyone you work with sees this view every day. So you kind of got to keep it in order.
Yeah, kind of. Remember, sometimes I sit at my kitchen table.
Yeah. But I guess then when you're in your kitchen table, you put all the screen way back, so you just get the ceiling.
Yeah, and I put all the newspapers under the table, so no one.
Sure, that's what's keeping up your table.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a piece of plywood on all your newspapers.
That's like, I just remember in college we'd all just buy like giant pieces of plywood, and that would just be like our beer pong table. Just put it on like a plastic table. Yep. I was like, for a while, I was the go-to person to paint and spray paint everyone's beer pong tables. I would cut a bunch of stencils and either spray paint or design everyone's beer pong tables. Yeah, that was my thing for a while. No big deal. Thank I inhaled God. A lot of spray paint. It's probably why I'm so fucking dumb. Anyway, we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
I was not wearing face masks. Yeah. Just straight aerosol on my lungs.
It just answers a lot of questions. That's nice.
What was that?
Oh, about why you're so...
No, I thought I saw something.
The way
it's fine.
You are.
No, something was just like floating in front of my face for a second. So we're talking... I was like really, really fucked up from all that aerosol.
I mean, poison.
I
really
brain.
Think you should lead with that. Hi, it's me, Anna. Before you get look, I did a lot of huffing back in the day. Okay, so you're like, oh, okay, you really put me at ease there. You got me hopped up.
Huffing and puffing, my way to hell. So yeah, where was I? Oh, we're talking Below Deck Mediterranean season 5, episode 3. That's 3 again. The culture I've experienced comes through. I'm just so cultured. It's so tough being this cultured. So, yeah, like we continue with Hannah asking Captain Sandy to come fucking fuck with Lara for her. Because Lara is terrifying and is in a human suit and is truly the Beelzebub in that human suit. And she is terrifying. And she's literally like laughing to herself while Hannah's like freaking out and getting Captain Sandy to come talk to her. Because she's terrifying. I can't stop saying that enough. This woman is unbelievable. Like, I myself have enough shame and have been slapped across the face enough times with my mother to know that, like, you just can't act that way. Like, a part of me feels like she's the type of person who, like, in front of her friends will tell her mom to go fuck herself, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's a type of person I didn't know growing up.
Well, no, I didn't either. That's like a really scary person to know. It's like any guy. This is some advice from Arden Marine, good friend, fellow podcaster. She would always say, if a guy treats his mom poorly, he will treat you poorly eventually. And she always tells me the story that she was with this really shitty guy. And from the other room, she heard him be like, fuck you, mom. And she's like, what? Like, that was clearly the red. That is the ultimate red flag. If, like, someone is literally, like, cursing out their parent in front of you and you have to be like, I'm sorry, what is going on? That is your parent. You cannot be cursing them out. It's just scary. And I don't know, Lara vibes as someone who'd be like, pull her mom's hair or something. I don't know. She's so scary. Like, truly, like, could you imagine being around that? Like, ever disrespecting your parents like that?
What would you do if, like, your best friend started dating her or something, you know?
Oh, that's a good point.
What do you do?
Well, I mean, eventually she'd probably, like, suck his soul so far out.
Murder him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a little too close to home. You know, my friends are not good at picking people, Anna. Wait. I've had to make these decisions before.
Are you about to tell me about, like, oh no, who's dating Lara?
No, I mean,
You can tell me.
I certainly have a Lara in my life.
Please tell me.
And I'll tell you what, I have a friend who I've just told them I would no longer see their girlfriend again.
It's Lara, huh?
A very close friend.
Just tell me the truth. Is this your friend dating Lara?
Might as well be.
Okay. Well, good to know. Now I know.
Now you know.
I know. That's why you've been so cool with her. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, I've had that situation before with a friend where you have to kind of be like, you're dating someone who is really evil.
Yeah.
And
not necessarily evil, you know, because evil's not real, but broken, well, sure. I'm sure someone, you know, it's like there's no way Lara's parents are cool and did a great job. You know, they fucked her up. Somebody fucked up her parents, and then her parents fucked her up, and she's going to fuck somebody else up. And someone's got to get in there, a professional, and do a little damage control. And that's all it is. Lara's not evil. Lara is not Beelzebub, but she is one of the worst. She acts worse than other people. Every other person in the world. And she probably lives underground.
Okay, well, what are you describing if not Beelzebub?
Probably very hot down there. Okay. To be honest with you.
You're describing Beelzebub.
Look, I can only be honest with you.
Yeah, okay. Well, yes. Yeah, so Captain Sandy tells Lara that Hannah's her boss and she's going to have to do what she tells her. And that her and Hannah, see, Captain Sandy's like, me and Hannah went through the same thing. And Lara was like, so you too, huh? What? And, like, Captain Sandy's like, okay, first of all, don't laugh. Now I'm angry. You need to start over with Hannah and, like, not, like, don't do what you're doing. Like, this isn't funny. And then Lara tells Hannah to apologize to her because, of course, and Hannah says, well, I'm sorry you had frustrations. And then Lara apologizes and says that she shouldn't have spoken to her that way and she'll do better. And then she turns to Captain Sandy is like, I will do better for you, Captain Sandy. I have a lot of respect for you. But the way she says it does sound sarcastic, which I'm like, what are you doing? And then Captain Sandy's like, that's enough. Leave your sarcasm in the cabin. And I'm like, was she really like, did that? What did you think of that?
Fire her! What the fuck? You know, this is how it should have happened. Hannah goes in. She says, I'm having a problem with this, Stu. Sandy says, you should work on it this way. She says, no, I don't think you understand. this person is not someone I can work on it with. It's just not going to happen. You got to trust me. And then she's like, all right, well, look, I trust you, but I do want to see it for myself. So let's the three of us talk. So they go and they talk. And then this person is disrespectful to Hannah, disrespectful to Captain Sandy on more than one occasion during this talk. Captain Sandy should be like, I see what you're saying, Hannah. Like, no one has ever disrespected Sandy in a setting like this, you know?
Right.
And live to tell the tale.
It's true.
I don't understand how they leave this room without her being fired. It's bonkers. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I feel like it has to be TV show related.
She does create good drama. That's fact. Mm-hmm. But a part of me was also like, maybe Captain Sandy just didn't want to have to deal with hiring someone else. Feels like it takes like 2 seconds to make it happen, but I don't know. It's weird. Oh. It's like so like her. And then literally Captain Sandy says that Lara has fuck you energy to her. And I'm like, if someone has fuck you energy, why would you continue to work with them? And then she says Hannah needs to pull her closer and use her more as a second stew. And it's like, to what? Like, you're just trying to like keep your enemies closer to her? Like, what is the plan here?
No. No thanks, Captain Sandy. You did it wrong.
Yeah.
This is like some fucking like lay down and take it shit like Glenn did to fucking Parker. Where Glenn's like, he just sits there while Parker is just so disrespectful, so not getting his job back, and doesn't pull the trigger. And it's like, I have no respect for that. Like, you have this all this pretend authority, and you don't do it.
It's interesting how they, like, fire you, but don't, like, make you quit, basically, by mind game firing you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Captain Sandy's trying to talk to Lara later in the crew mess, and Lara says she has an older sister, and then Captain Sandy says the randomest thing. Like, it literally leads nowhere. And I wrote it down because I was like, what are you fucking talking about, Captain Sandy? She goes, yeah, you know, my stepdad was a hunter and a cop, so we had 42 dogs. Like, what, bitch? What are you talking about?
You know how cops have 20 dogs and hunters will have 22 dogs.
So total.
Well, he did both. I know how hunters might have a dog.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it ends.
But like, I actually in that moment was on Lara's side in the sense that I was like, I'm eating, miss. I don't know what you want me to say.
Also, you know who has 42 dogs?
A hoarder?
Breeders.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, that's what that person was.
Well, she didn't say that he was also a breeder and whatever.
I had
jobs.
A great uncle with 42 dogs. Guess what? They were all beagles because he was a breeder.
It is true. I have family in Iran that has like so many dogs. It's because they're breeding them. Like they live in the
there's
countryside.
No other reason.
With like giant, giant like dog houses everywhere with like hundreds of puppies.
You're like, if you're a hoarder with 42 dogs, that means like 39 of those dogs are carcasses.
Oh, geez. That's sad.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. A lot to take in. Pete is telling Alex that he's going to go all in on Lara, but he keeps calling her Lana. And Alex is like, well, when you fail, the nice guy will swoop in. But then Pete's like, nah, man, I'm going to fuck Lana tonight.
Lara.
Yeah, but he calls her Lana.
No. He's the only one who knows her name.
Pete doesn't know her name and he's going to fuck her tonight. So stupid. Jess lays out.
I would like to say that she deserves more respect than that, but she doesn't.
Sure. Yeah, at this point. Also, she's probably never introduced herself to anyone. So, like, no one knows. They're guessing her name. But Jess finishes her work. I started at one point calling her Jess and not Jessica because I got lazy. But she, like, after she finishes her work, she lays out in her bikini in the sun, and all the guys are like, awooga, awooga, awooga. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. They're like, titties, 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 titties.
Yeah. I had a lot of trouble watching this scene, actually, because I kept turning the TV off with my boner.
stupid.
Well, if you didn't love it so much, I might stop.
What? How does that even physically make sense?
I press the power button on that thing.
These power buttons now on these new flat screens are like on the side or the bottom back.
I got old school TV.
That means your dick goes all the way around and then has like
it's
little
curved.
Quick curve at the end.
It's got a little hook, yeah.
You got a little weird dick curve hook.
I just ding it on the side. You know?
All right. Well, I'm not going to judge what your genitals look like.
Thank you.
More power to you. I bet it makes a lot of
I have won some competitions
easy.
For weirdest dick.
But. Weirdest dick guy, huh?
Yeah. No biggie.
But you did lose the competition to be the face of COVID to that one guy.
What?
The black man with the big dong. That like was being used as like a red herring of like click this
dead.
Link, and then it was just like him with his dick out.
Full disclosure.
Yes, he's.
You
passed.
Sent me his picture again yesterday.
I sent just his face looking
you
at you.
You love sending me that picture.
I love him. He's great. He's like an iconic character.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. So so we have our next charter meeting with Hannah, Malia, Kiko, and Captain Sandy. And guess who's coming on board? We got Roy Orbison Jr. coming
on.
Now, his father's song, You Got It, is one of my big karaoke tracks. So I'm
anything you want, you got it.
Yeah, I'm a Roy Orbison head, so it was interesting to see Roy Orbison Jr. come on.
Well, you, me, and Sandy have a lot in common.
Yeah, did you get any likes and dizzy likes?
No, I couldn't see him. He's a celebrity. Let me see what I got.
He's a celebrity.
Let me see what I got.
He's a
celebrity. Yeah, I ain't got nothing.
Well.
All hidden.
Him and his wife are coming with their kids. The kids don't know how to swim, so they have to keep an eye on them. The nanny's coming as well, and she's really hot. And then we got something very interesting. We learned that Ulf Ekberg, the founder of Ace of Base, is also coming with them. Now, I sent you something very interesting because Ace of Base... So Ulf Ekberg, before he founded Ace of Base, was a neo-Nazi skinhead.
Hey, so was the last pope.
Was he? Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, he's gone now, so what am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah, I love that that wasn't the worst thing he did.
Yeah, there was a lot going on with that guy. But apparently he tried to use Ace of Base's success as an opportunity to erase his neo-Nazi past. And then he also was part of another like weird group. I don't know. He's had a shady past, which he has since apologized for, but hard to forget. There's a photo of him literally like heiling Hitler on the internet. Like, so.
Wow.
That's tough for me.
That's not what you want.
It doesn't help that this boat is already so aggressively like white supremacy. I mean, just the show is like white supremacy, but
whole
like.
Industry.
What'd you say?
The whole industry.
Yeah, yeah. It's like whites are us. And then to have this Ulf Ekberg guy come on, I was not loving that.
No, not ideal. Also, you think you got some dirt on someone. Well, I got dirt.
Okay.
On Roy Orbison Jr.
Oh my God, hit me.
He's not the first Roy Orbison Jr.
What?
Roy Orbison Sr. had a son named him Roy.
Okay.
He had two more sons, named them other things. Had a wife, a very young wife, you know, met her when she was 17, 18. And he was 30. They got married, had three kids. He was away in Europe. There was a house fire. Killed two of his sons.
Oh, my God.
Killed Roy Orbison Jr. He got a new wife.
Wait, did the wife die too?
Had these kids. No, they just broke up. Oh, no, she died in a car accident. Yeah, so his wife and his two kids out of three kids died.
Jeez.
Then he got remarried. Anyway, he had more kids. His first new kid was Roy Orbison Jr. In 1971, I believe, which makes him a lot older than we were guessing yesterday.
Wow. That's really sad.
Yeah.
And odd that he also chose to name another son Roy Orbison
Jr. He wanted a junior. He got one. And this guy seems pretty dedicated to his father's legacy, considering it's his main job is like licensing his music. And at one point he's bragging about how all the best pictures or all the Oscar films had, you know, a Roy Orbison song in it for like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, poof. Oof, very sad. Very sad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Kiko says he thinks the guests will be cool because they're Swedish and important musicians. And he plays the guitar and music is one of his passions. So he's like, I'm walking on stars. Wow. Kiko, stars. They also want Mallorcan music and a picnic at the Palma Cathedral. You know what I've always said? I said, I'm sorry. Did you say cathedral? Let's have a picnic. I'm sorry, did someone say cathedral? Well, I am going to whip out a tablecloth. I'm going to bring some cheese, crackers, jam, bread, a sandwich maybe. I guess I just kind of described some parts of a sandwich, but not fully. Deli meat. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat in front of this cathedral.
Huh.
Maybe I'll have some wine.
Well. Okay, I feel like you're saying something here, like that's crazy.
No, I just would never do it. It's just rando to me, but maybe some people would. A cathedral picnic. Okay, let's take a quick break. Clearly, I need to tone it the fuck down. We'll be right back. And we're back. I've toned it the fuck down. We're back. This was interesting. Jess is reading The Secret History by Donna Tartt. And of course, Rob's like, wow, she's not just titties. She also has a brain.
Look, there are some brains in those titties.
Wow.
That must be why her titties so big.
Auga, this is very hot for me.
You know, I haven't heard any jokes from him in a while. I'm looking forward to them sometime soon.
Yeah. I need to pull up the jokes you sent me. Nick sent me for my bit.
No, I didn't send you anything. Don't worry about what we're talking about. Just drop them in later.
All right.
Edit this part out.
Drop them in later.
Just
you want
drop
me to go
them in
do
later. That's
pickups?
The whole point. We're not talking. These are his jokes. That's all you need to know. That's part of your character. Edit this part out.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Rob. What's up, man?
Yesterday, I saw a guy spill all his Scrabble letters onto the road.
Oh, yeah?
I asked him, what's the word on the street?
Man, dude, Rob, you have the best delivery in comedy. Oh, that's funny.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you hear about the new restaurant called Karma?
No, man. Well, what's that?
There's no menu. You get what you deserve.
Oh, Rob, you done it again. Thanks, man. You always have that. Oh, you got some brain in your dick yourself, bub.
I love titties and brain.
All right. So of course, this is the most of course scene in the entire show. Pete is showing Lara photos of himself working out, and Lara's like, I'm very attracted to them. And then he like flips to one photo of, I guess, him and his dad, and Lara's like, who's that? And Pete's like, oh, that's my dad. He just got diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor's given him like about 6 months to a year to live. I'm like, what? And then Pete says that he moved home to help take care of his dad, and it hasn't been easy. And that he
does he know he's on a boat for 6 weeks?
I know. I'm like, what?
Dad's got a month left.
Well, six months to a year, and he's chosen to take basically 2 months away. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. That's something.
Yeah, and he said he moved home to take care of his dad, and it hasn't been easy, so I guess he left. And then he said
it hasn't been easy because you don't live there.
Yeah, it's hard to take care of him from a boat in sea. And he says that he wouldn't be the man he is today without his dad, and it's hard to see someone you love so much be so sick. And Lara's like, I'm so sorry to hear that. And then she's like, well, this is depressing. Let's change the subject.
Yeah, she said that.
She said,
shut up about your dad.
Yeah.
It's bumming me out.
She's like, fuck you.
What the fuck?
It's like, dude.
That's something else.
And he was like, sorry, babe. Do you want to see me pumping iron?
My God.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Pete. Jesus. Well, anyway, everyone goes out to dinner. Pete, classic Pete. Pete is so unbelievable because, again, like I said, he starts out like he gets it. Like, he's like, you're right, Malia. I'll listen to you, babe. But then he, like, always finds a way to fuck it up. And he's like, you know, like, I was working at this Domino's and this woman owned the Domino's and she had, like, 7 other franchises. And it was, like, really impressive to me. And it really inspired me because I was like, well, if this bitch could do it, then I could do it too. And Malia's like, what, fool? Like, he always starts out like it's going the right direction. And then he just makes a quick left back the wrong direction every time. I mean, sorry about that, lover chick.
Wow.
Sorry I wasn't listening. I should listen more to you. You're my bosun, but your tits are so huge. Like,
I mean,
always...
I've never wanted a couple to get together more.
Who, Lara and Pete?
Yeah, and just like live at the bottom of the ocean together. Just take them both out of the dating pool.
They really should. They are perfect for each other. They're just two of the worst people. Yeah. Lara says she's been traveling for 11 years and she's always somewhere else. And that makes me think, Lara, what are you running from at home? Lara? Well, anyway, after dinner, they head to the club, baby, club time. Kiko says that he's currently in a relationship with a yachty as well, and he's just going with the flow, and her name's Nicole. Woo! Okay, not that interesting. Pete, because he's flirting with Lara all night at the club, he goes, looks like Pete found a treat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Hannah is taking this opportunity to tell Kiko that she just doesn't know how to deal with Lara on her own. And she's like really stressed and doesn't like, cause Lara's just such a bitch. And Kiko is like, I never want to see Lara again. Like, those are, Kiko does not fuck with Lara at all. And I thought that was pretty dope of him to be like, you know, when you have that friend and you look at them and you think, I never want to see you again. That's Lara for me.
Like, it is so funny because he loves everybody that deserves it.
Yeah. And like, Lara is basically like, I can hear Hannah talking shit about me. She's so rude. She can't talk about someone that way. And I'm like, oh, you've never watched this show before. Because she can,
you've
honey.
Never been on a boat before.
Yeah, you think she's faking it? She, her Instagram's an interesting place. Because in her Instagram, she's like, I've had such a whirlwind month. I caught coronavirus. And I'm like, of course you did. Of course you did, you dumb bitch. You are the prime... person.
I caught the coronavirus for the 7th time.
I know. She's such a fool. Yeah. So everyone's dancing on the dance floor. They're all having a good time. Jess says she's enjoying hanging out with Rob. And then Malia pulls Lara aside to be like, hey, how you doing with Hannah? And Lara's like, we just don't get along. We haven't gotten to know each other off the boat. And I'm like, well, it's been 2 days. And Malia tells her that Hannah feels a lot of pushback, and that's really tough for a department head. And then she says that if one of her deckhands said no after she told them to do something, they'd be fucking fired. And I'm like, are you threatening Lara? Like, do you not understand this woman will slit your throat while you're sleeping? You need to be careful. Mm. Hey, Malia, watch your back.
Yeah, this is the same advice that Jack and Miles gave me when I started working with you.
That's so funny.
Oh, well, how'd you do that with your face?
Mm-hmm.
My God, is your tongue forked?
Mm-hmm.
My God. Thank God I'm in my own house.
I'll kill you. So,
I hope coronavirus never ends.
Coronavirus.
For Lara, I mean.
Lara catching coronavirus is like.
It's incredible. I love it so much.
I mean, I bet Pete got it too, honestly.
You know she was out somewhere being like, masks are stupid.
No one tells she's Lara what to do. Lara doesn't wear masks. Authority poo-poo. No, I agree. She's a fucking fool. And she's from Italy.
They had it so hard. I know. But they got it under control.
They do. They're doing so much better than us. So, yeah, they all head back to the boat. Pete and Lara go in one cab. And I thought this was really funny. Everyone else goes in another cab. And Kiko literally has his head hanging out the window yelling that Lara is a bitch. And I thought that was so funny. Like, Kiko, when he gets drunk, gets a little Kiko.
Yeah, he's cool.
It was funny. He's just like,
I would love to hang out with Kiko.
Bitch, Lara! I was like, that's sick. And everyone's like, woo!
There's certain people, like, you know how we always say, like, we don't want any cast members on the show because it's not really for them, you know? Mm-hmm. We just shit on them. That's all we do. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of people that, like, that we love. Like, if Aisha listened to our show, I would be so proud.
Yeah.
How we talked about her. Like, if Kiko listens to our show, I would love for Kiko to listen to it. I love Kiko.
I love Kiko. He's fun. I feel like people like that don't get the respect they deserve on shows like these.
No. Well, and also, bad news for Kiko.
Yeah, that's why I'm sad. It's just such good vibes, you know?
I don't know. I don't understand how this Kiko thing is going to happen.
I don't either.
I feel like he must be busy or something. Or he gets like a family thing. I don't understand how Kiko would be asked to leave.
I agree. It's really confusing.
But we'll see.
Bums me out in a way I wasn't ready.
Yeah. So Jess is the only person from Interior who survives the whole season?
Yeah, I think Jess survives. Malia survives.
Well, apparently there's this, like, the major drama that I keep seeing on Instagram is between Rob and Jess.
Well,
and somehow Aisha gets involved in it, and I don't understand it. But I am going to wait it out.
Yeah. I think
there's a love, and then a new thing comes on, and maybe there's something between Rob and Aisha.
The three people, or well, like Sandy, Malia,
Sandy,
Jessica, and Robert. And Alex make it all the way through. Peter is technically on the boat, but I hear around episode 7 or 8, he basically gets cut out. They minimize his edit because of the racist post he did that got him in trouble. Uh-huh. So it does feel like by the end of this series, it's going to be a whole different show. Or at least like halfway through, it becomes a different show.
Yeah. You know what would have been funny is if like by the end of the show, all the men were in charge of each department.
That'd be terrible.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But
I don't like that, Nick. I don't like
that
one.
Well, it doesn't happen, so it's cool.
So you're going to kill me? So, on the boat, Pete tries to creep on Lana, but she goes to bed before he can. And then he's like, we weren't even going to fuck. We were going to, like, make love. And I'm like, Pete, your face has no expressions. Like, you look like you got beat up. Take it home, buddy. So everyone goes to bed. But weirdly, At 5 a.m., Lara gets up and seems to leave the boat.
Interesting.
It's a weird exit.
She goes and then hides in a garage or like and peeks around a corner.
Well, like, I don't get where she goes.
She goes into that garage. She like walks down the way a little bit and goes into a garage and just kind of like stands there in the corner.
Right.
It's really weird.
But that's later on. I mean, like in the morning at 5 a.m., does she just go to production and tell them she wants out?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, it's officially the next. Nope, I clicked the wrong thing. It's the next day. So Alex is like 10 minutes late to deck at 10 a.m. because he was shitting. And Malia's like, hey, bitch, you need to be here on time. I'm the captain now. And they're like, okay. And Hannah and Jess are looking for Lara because she's just straight up MIA. They're like 1 hour until charter. Lara's MIA. And then all of a sudden they hear over the radio, Lara asked to speak to Captain Sandy and ask her to come off the boat and meet her on the dock. And she refuses to come on the boat. And so Captain Sandy comes out and Lara literally says, I am no longer feeling comfortable and I would like to leave. And then Captain Sandy's like, okay, like, is this after the conversation? Like, what happened? And she's like, she doesn't want to talk. She doesn't want to explain herself. She just says she's no longer comfortable and she wants to leave. And so Captain Sandy's like, all right, you wait here. We'll go get your stuff. And so Captain Sandy tells Hannah and Hannah's like, did she say what's up? She's like, no, she didn't want to talk. She just wants to leave. And this is, I guess, when she's waiting for her stuff to come, she goes and stands next to that garage. And like just stands there to, yeah, I guess, get away from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's also weird that she trusts other people to pack her stuff up, you know? I'd be like, yeah, nervous to let that, but.
But there's just cameras everywhere. She doesn't steal her shit.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just like in case they leave anything behind. But like, it's interesting that like, she just.
I don't believe this was my doo-doo. Who put a doo-doo in my bag?
My doo-doo. Oh. I guess she just didn't want to face anyone when she went back on boat for quitting.
No, of course you don't.
Yeah. Lara says she's not a quitter, especially before a charter, but sometimes
no,
in life.
No, she's not a. No, definitely.
Shut up. Sometimes in life, you have to choose between your happiness and a job, and she's choosing her own happiness.
The last way I would describe her is a quitter. First way, Beelzebub.
Murderer. worst energy on earth.
A doo-doo haver in her bag.
Did you put a shit in her bag?
Yeah, you got
it. I knew it. That's so you. All right, let's take a quick break. And we're going to each doo-doo. And we'll be right back. And we're back. So Captain Sandy holds a crew meeting in the galley to tell them, hey, Lara's gone. And some people are not cut for this business. And she asks Pete to pack up all her stuff. And Pete's all bummed out packing up her stuff. And he delivers it to her. And he says, hey, I put my card in your luggage. You should call me or whatever. And she literally says, we'll see. And then leaves. We'll see. Bye,
she
bitch.
She ain't gonna call him.
No. And she says, maybe they will do a long distance or something. And then she laughs and goes, no, I will never do that. I have no idea why I said that. And I was like, you are the devil. So anyway, everyone's back to work, getting ready for the guests to arrive. And Hannah has to deal with no Lara. They only have Lara and Jessica in this upcoming charter. And Pete is literally crying over Lara. Like, literally, he's crying on deck.
Stop crying.
And then he's crying in his room into his pillow.
Oh, my God. I could not. This is the greatest laugh that I have had from this show in a long time. Just, I am guffawing at
it's
this scene.
Absurd. Like, he's like, all right, man, I got. Don't worry, man. I'll clean the side of the boat. No, it's
he
cool,
met
man.
Her yesterday.
Yeah. Literally, Alex says, you've known her for 12 years. You're like, you don't even know her last name. And I was like,
hours.
Dude, exactly. Like, he's in his
years.
Room. Oh, 12 years. I meant 12 hours. He's in his room with his head in his pillow. What the fuck? God, these dudes. The unit is a fucking mess.
He's a unit.
Yeah, he's a fucking doofus. Whatever. So Captain Sandy looks for a second, another stew to replace Lara. And there's a really funny moment that stood out to me is when Hannah and Jess are struggling to set up a crib for the upcoming guests because they have a kid. And they call Alex, but he's like, get Pete. Pete's a dad. And everyone's shocked. And Hannah's like, that's really concerning that Pete's a dad. But he like comes in, sets up the crib real quick. And it's like, yeah, that's right. I started at 18. My son's like 9. And everyone's like, dude. You should not be in charge of a human life. I agree. Anyway, guests arrive. They have two little kids. One of the little kids has a guitar on his back, a miniature guitar, because I guess everyone in this family plays music.
Mm-hmm. Or at least listens to their dad's music and sells it.
Yeah. Is he not a musician, Roy?
No,
Wilson
he's
Jr.?
A musician. I just, you know, he's not a popular musician.
Right, he's Swedish.
He's not like Hank Williams Jr. or some shit.
It's always
he's like a real musician.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. Or his father. It's interesting when people dress their kids in all white to me because I'm like, they're children. Like, all white? Like, doesn't that seem like just a disaster waiting to happen? Like, your kids are that clean? Kids are not clean.
Well, there's a lot of pictures of him wearing white. He's like a white guy, white wearing guy, one of these people.
Well, then they also like they put their kids in like matching like white linen outfits. Strange.
Roy Kelton Orbison Jr. is an American musician and record producer. He is also the co-founder of record label Roy's Boys and co-president of Still Working Music. Mm-hmm. Among his work, he co-produced the album Guess What? Roy Orbison, The Ultimate Collection. The greatest hits. He produced it, which reached number 10 on the UK album charts.
Cool.
Oh, so cool.
Pretty cool, huh?
His spouse is Asa Hallgren, who I can only assume is a blonde Swedish babe.
A blonde Swedish babe?
Blonde. Hallgren. She's the connection, I think, between Ace of Base. You know, because they're Swedish.
Got it. Got it. Yes. Okay. I said blonde Swedish Mabe. What's a Mabe? Okay. Well, Kiko's happy that Lara's gone because he says the energy in the galley is so much better now and he can really focus on his food. And I'm like, please fucking focus so you can stay longer. Then there's like...
She's a native of Sweden. Who works in marketing.
Huh. Cool gig. So he's making enough money. Maybe he got money left from his dad, but he's making like...
Well, his dad still makes a ton of money.
He does?
Because he still makes millions licensing his music.
Oh.
Yeah, his dad... I mean, because his dad's music is still very present in society.
You got it. Do I have to pay licensing fees every time?
You owe. We got it.
And then crying. Do you remember crying?
Crying.
Yes, technically, if you just say it. I like crying.
Yeah, I know. You do it all the time through your nose.
Okay. You know what? You're being rude. So, okay. Well, that makes it better.
I'm fine with it.
So there's like an incident. Kind of, where so the deck crew's putting up the slide, but then the weather conditions are too rough, so they have to bring the slide down. And then Hannah wants to set up lunch on the aft deck before they go swimming, but the deck crew's now like, okay, well, we have to take the slide down on the aft deck. So it's going to take them 30 minutes. So it just doesn't work out. And then so they have to end up leaving the slide on the aft deck while everyone's having lunch. I was like, how is that a good look? Just throw the slide away. Get a new one later.
Yeah, just cut it loose. I'll come by with my boat later with my slide already set up.
Yeah, and so...
Don't worry about it.
And then the deck crew gets upset because they're like, we keep doing everything. Well, no, we put it up and then we take it down. Then we have to take it down. Then we have to put it up. Then we have to put it back on the aft deck and then this and that. And they're all upset. And Malia's like, do as I say, soldiers. And they're like, oh, okay. And Pete's like, hey, babe, sweetie tart girl, little lady love. And Malia's like, please don't call me that. Actually, she never tells him not to call her sweetheart or sweetie. Have you noticed that? He always calls it. She's always like, don't love that. But she
never once. I haven't seen her say it once.
She doesn't directly say anything to him.
Never. Not once.
It's interesting.
Meanwhile, Pete's still in his room crying.
Well, yeah. So
over Laura.
Yeah. While the guests are having lunch, Alex and Pete are entertaining the kids while the parents and the nanny eat. And Pete's like, it makes me miss my son and Laura. This idiot. I still don't understand why he was crying so much over fucking Laura.
Because Roy Orbison's kid is there.
Makes no sense.
He's trying to impress him.
He's like,
I don't understand why Below Deck couldn't afford to use the crying during this scene.
Well, because he's a tough guy. So he's like, he's just doing so much sniffling. Like he just was just holding it down because he's Pete. He's the unit. The unit doesn't cry.
Do you know who I know who sniffles the most? The unit, the president, and Anna Hosni.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Sniffing.
So they dock the boat in Palma. And Malia's like, it's my first time docking in Palma, so I'm really nervous. But guess what? Nothing matters. And we do it. We nail it. And the guests are... The guests basically ask Hannah to check in on the kids while they're sleeping during dinner service. And Hannah's like, oh, well, my mom used to run a childcare service when I was younger. So I spent a lot of time with kids and I'm actually quite good with them and they really like me.
And there's one growing in my belly.
I know. I think she is pregnant during this time, but I don't know.
Well, I'm pregnant.
Actually, she's drinking, so maybe not.
The baby, it's Lada's.
It does... She is drinking when they went out, right? Did I see that?
I don't know. No one made a point to say that she wasn't.
Right.
And they usually do.
Yeah, that's true. They would point that out. Well, anyway. Yeah, and Hannah's like, yeah, I can check in on the kids, but I'm a stew down. So babysitting the primary's kids is not ideal. And then they have like the Mallorcan musicians arrive to perform for the guests and they don't speak much English. And it's really funny. And Hannah just is like, okay, so, oh, you don't speak English? It's fine. I don't speak Spanish. So I'm going to need you guys to go down to the crew mess and wait for me there. And they just stand there like, mm-hmm. No English. And she's like, uh-huh, okay. Just follow me. She's like, come on. Come on. Yes, we're about to end soon. So Kiko's making tapas for dinner. And did you see that scene where Ulf is just very creepily staring at Kiko cooking?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? I'm sorry. Hey, staring creepily at someone while they cook does not help your vibe, fool.
Well, you know, all of the Nazis fled to Brazil. So he's probably like, wait a minute. Are we related?
Oh, no. Are you the man who killed my father? Yeah. So... the guests love the food. The musicians play for the guests and the guests are loving it. And they're like, wow, true music. And then everyone goes to bed after dinner and it's the next day. And Pete, it's the next day. And Pete, guess what? Pete keeps calling Malia sweetheart and she's really getting upset. And she says, yachting is a male dominated industry. And she wishes Pete could just see what she's overcome and then try and call her sweetheart. And I'm like, just tell him not to call you that. But instead, Malia is talking to Captain Sandy and says that, yeah, Pete keeps calling me sweetie. And Captain Sandy doesn't like that. And she says, that's blatant disrespect, regardless of gender, because you would not call a man that. And she calls all the deck crew to the bridge and tells them not to call anyone sweetheart and says, her and Malia are not your friends. We are your captain and your bosun. And if you don't like it, then you gotta fucking leave. And this is a woman's boat. And we'll have our period wherever we want. We will free bleed on this deck. And you'll have to clean up after us. It'll be messy. It'll be so messy. And Pete's like, got it, babe. And Pete's dead now. They shot him in the face. And that's the end of the episode.
Well, boat fact.
Yeah, it's time for boat facts with Nikki G's. I mean T's.
What the fuck? I wanted to talk about my favorite yacht. It's the Octopus yacht. It's Paul Allen, you know, Microsoft founder, Paul Allen's yacht. And what I think is most interesting is that underneath the boat, this is a $325 million, 414-foot super yacht. Okay? Now, underneath this boat, there are two submarines that detach from the boat and can that can go for like 10 hours each, and they can house up to 8 to 10 people. Why you need this? I mean, I don't know, but it sounds like the most luxurious thing I've ever seen. About why you need two is, I think, my biggest question.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Anyway, octopus, check it out. That's both facts. Nikki T, goodbye.
Octopus. Octopuses are really scary to me. There's that episode on this season, season two of Twilight Zone, where the octopus becomes like really, have you seen it? Season two of Twilight Zone?
No.
Well, there's a scene, or there's an episode with an octopus that becomes like very, very smart, and it's really scary, and I don't fuck with octopus anymore. I'll tell you that much now.
Also, his boat has a helipad on the front and the back.
Oh, this is a boat.
It's a super yacht.
Oh, it's called the Octopus? Why did I miss that?
What are you talking about? You think it was an octopus with submarines on it? I told you it was a $325 million, 414-foot super yacht.
I heard octopus and then was immediately mentally taken back to that Twilight Zone episode and basically heard nothing else.
Okay, well, I can't explain it to you again. Sorry about that. And I love you. I gotta go.
All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Sorry about that. I'm in fear of octopus. You could follow us at DeckheadsPod on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us at DeckheadsPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Anna Hosnian. Nick is at Nick's Turners. And give us a 5-star review if you can. We would really appreciate it. You could talk about octopuses. You could talk about boat facts. You could just say something nice, or I don't know, guess something mean, as long as you give us a 5-star review. What do I care? My life is based on nothing. This is all I do. That was sad. All right, guys. Also, check out our merch on TeePublic. We would love that. We love to give you guys fun shirts. We'll have another one coming soon that says Master Boat Facts or Boat Facts Master, whichever one I forget. Yeah. All right. We're outie. Bye.
Deckheads is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.